Hi, friends. This is Jamie from Malt. I'm back with our avalanche story. And if you remember last time, Ryan and his sister were both on the slope side after the avalanche. And it's becoming increasingly clear that Ryan hit his head really hard and is having a hard time remembering who he is. So we're going to pick up at chapter 6, and I'll also read chapter 7 this morning, and I may take an occasional break to take a sip of my coffee. All right, here we go. Chapter 6. The wind changed everything. It sucked at the warmth from our exposed skin and open necks. Icy fingers reached to the cracks of my throat. The temperature felt like a walk-in freezer. I raised my chin and I yelled, "Hello!" My voice was brittle and cracked. "Can anyone hear us? We're alive down here." I listened intently for any sound of rescue. I was so sure they'd come. And now we were losing our daylight. When I glanced at my brother, Ryan, he was seemingly helpless and confused. Something snapped in me. I had to figure this out right now. We had to get out of this wind. "Ryan, remember when we made a Quincy at ski club?" He shook his head. It made me angry. "Yes, you do. I know you remember, because you thought it was so cool when we piled all the snow and then hollowed it out to make a shelter. You've carried that stupid candle in your pack ever since. Remember?" We all took turns sliding through the little door like beaver house and sharing the digging, and then we had to wait for a couple days to let it set. "You're the one who poked the air holes. We all crammed in and lit candles, and it was warm." My voice was getting louder and louder. I was trying to make him remember. "Come on, remember," I yelled. Ryan flinched back, his eyes blazing wild copper brown. That settled me down instantly. "I'm sorry, it's all right. It was fun. Let's do it again, okay?" "But it won't be as big this time, and we don't have time to let it set. We just need to dig a snow cave." There was a hump of snow next to where the fire crackled and sparkled. Using the ski pole, I rose and gingerly put pressure on my right leg. It still hurt. I took the next step that needed to be taken to get the snow drift, and I started digging into it with a shovel. Ryan crawled beside me and took the shovel. For a minute, it looked like he did remember. Maybe he did. But he just kept digging into the snow. "We have to make a ledge for the hot air," I explained. "Dig up like it's a stair step. That's it. And then dig sideways to make it like a big capital T. I'll find something to get us off the snow." I set to work collecting spruce boughs. Parts of broken trees were everywhere from the avalanche, snapped off by the snow coming down the mountain. Seeing them made me pause. We could have been snapped into pieces like this, too. I focused back on what needed doing and broke off some low-hanging branches from the evergreens. I limped back to Ryan and piled armfuls of branches next to him before to help him keep digging. My stomach pinched, telling me we had missed supper. We hadn't eaten anything since lunch, and we were doing all this work out in the cold. At the club, we learned about how our bodies needed fuel to keep warm in the outside. I thought of what it was like in my pocket. "Oh, there's one granola bar. Better to save it if we have to make the snow cave. We can have it in there." The most important thing right now was to get shelter from the wind. We lay on our bellies side by side, carving into the mound to make a space big enough for both of us. Dusk was approaching fast. The light of the fire barely illuminated what we were doing. "That's good enough. Let me try," I said. When I crawled in, the difference in temperature was immediate. Inside the cave, the wind couldn't find me. It couldn't suck my body heat away. Being out of the cold was a relief. I looked around and shuffled in the loose, squishy snow of the floor. There was room to sit up, but not enough to stretch my legs out. The cave wasn't as good as the Quincy we had made at the club. The door was much bigger, but it had to be so we could both dig at the same time in our race to beat the darkness. I peered out at Ryan next to the fire. It had burned through the wood I built on it, and it was sinking into the snow. We needed air to breathe. The fire would die soon. But we were not going to die soon, not if I could help it. Okay, chapter 7. I also have Frankie here with me. Frankie, you want to say hi to everybody? Frankie's listening too. Okay, chapter 7. I slid out of the snow cave and I let Ryan drag himself in. I passed him the branches to line the floor with. The wind bit into the back of my neck. It found its way through my jacket and thoroughly chilled the sweat on my skin. After I edged back in next to Ryan, I piled the rest of the spruce boughs behind me. The door was supposed to be just a crawl hole to keep the heat in and the cold out. I piled snow around the boughs to build a smaller opening. Then I propped up the packs in the doorway. The way we did at the Quincy so we could push them out in the morning and not be sealed in by the snow. I turned to Ryan, but I strained to see him. I should have lit the candle before I closed the door, I said, fumbling in the dark. The click of the lighter was loud in the muffled stillness of our cave. Once the candle flickered shadows around the tight space, I stuck it to the ghost white wall. We need tinfoil like we used in the Quincy, I said. We used it to wrap behind the candle. It helped to reflect the warmth. I remembered our emergency blankets. Digging into the packs, I found them and tore open the wrappers. When I handed Ryan his blanket, he shivered as he unfolded it and wrapped it around his body. I cut a small piece from mine to arrange it with the reflective side facing the back of the candle. Want to make a ventilation hole? I asked, handing Ryan the avalanche probe. I hoped it would jog his memory. He blankly poked a hole through the ceiling, then just as blankly passed the pole back to me. The loneliness of it made me bite my lip to keep from crying. I took a sip of the melted snow in my water bottle, and Ryan copied with his. Time to pull out the granola bar, I thought. Supper's ready, I said, trying to appear to make light of the situation. That got a spark of interest from Ryan. I carefully broke the bar in half, and I gave my brother the slightly bigger piece. He took it, and he stuffed the whole thing in his mouth all at once. Wow, he must have been hungry, huh? I smiled, thinking that this must be a good sign Ryan was hungry. I chewed mine slowly, using tiny bites to make it last longer. I washed it down with more water, but it wasn't enough to fill the emptiness in my gut. Ryan had lain down, and his eyes were closed. Thinking of the long night ahead, I couldn't bear to be alone. Maybe if I reminded Ryan about things we'd done, it would bring my brother back to me. Last year, we went to that fishing lodge on Lake Champlain, I began. Do you remember that, Ryan? He looked at me. Yeah. I told him about how neither of us had wanted to touch the worms. We resorted to sticking them on our hooks with great difficulty while they rolled around on the ground, until Dad bent down to see what we were doing, and suddenly Ryan became brave and he picked one up. He had chased me with the pulsing, slimy thing dangling from his fingers. Through much of the cold night, I told stories. I talked about the time in fifth grade when Ryan won a prize at the science fair for his universe model. Dad had been so proud when we went to the award ceremony, he told everyone we met that he was Ryan's father. I talked about how Ryan was always winning something, how he never got into trouble at school. I was the one who did that. I reminded him how disappointed Dad had been when the school called after I got into a fight on Ryan's behalf. I had shoved Debbie Martin the next day after the sprained ankle incident. I wasn't sorry I'd do it again. The stories got slower as the night went on. My neck kinked, so I laid down on my arm and I tucked the emergency blanket around it. My stomach gurgled in hunger. Morning had to arrive soon. What were we going to do then? Rescue was not coming for us. No one knew where we were. I glanced at how short the burning candle had become. We would never survive another night out here, I told myself. Not without at least a candle to cut the frost. We had to do something. There was a snowmobile trail near where we had skied. We'd heard them roaring by when we had lunch. If we could get back to the main trail, someone would come along. But we needed to get out of this ravine and back up on the mountain. How? Our skis were gone. The problem whirled and whirled in my head. I thought of the wolverine tracks we'd seen, of how large they were. Ryan had said that they were that big so they could walk on the snow. We needed to make our feet big. Could we make snowshoes? I blew out a breath in frustration. I didn't know how to make snowshoes. That was my last thought before the sleep claimed me. I jerked awake, confused by the blackness around me. My brain shut down. Pure terror was going through me. I was back in the hole after the avalanche. I was buried alive. Oh, wait, no, we had gotten out. I was here with Ryan. and the candle had died. Ryan, I groped and accidentally hit him in the face. Ow, what? Are you okay? I asked, lurching up. My eyes adjusted in the weak light, filtering it from behind our packs. Where are we? Ryan jerked his head around. Ash? Ryan, I choked out, reaching for his hand. We're in a snow cave. Do you remember? Ryan let out a sob. He grabbed his boots, started tearing at the buckles. My feet! I can't feel my feet! Okay, I'll start with chapter 8 next time. Bye, everybody. Hope you're all doing well. I'll say bye, Frankie. That's Frankie. Bye. Woo!